Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. On Be a Slayer, we will unmask all the taboos. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here, because the Be a Slayer podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Hello and welcome to Be a Slayer, the spiritual podcast where we take on all the hard topics. My name is Tracy Dunblazer, and for those of you who are just getting to know me, I'm a spiritual empath, shaman, and multi-award-winning author on spiritual topics like relationships and grief. My most recent books are Transformative Grief, An Ancient Ritual of Healing, and Your Crystal Allies, 44 Sacred Altar Cards, and Oracle Set. And I bring those up because all of the topics that we discuss on the show are intended to help the listener, help you, help me, to work out our emotional leanings on some of these topics and help us to learn how to discuss them with one another in a peaceful or definitive and calm way. It's also the only way we can get to a place within ourselves where we can learn to transition our belief systems and our ideals and find a common ground with each other is to learn to discuss things differently. That's my cat. If anybody heard that, my goodness. Everybody's up in arms at this hour. Every time I start a show, everybody's ready to jump on board and has an opinion, which I suppose is probably a pretty good thing. But at the bottom of every transition that we make is grief and how we relate emotionally to our opinions, our thoughts, our feelings, and to those of other people. And the way we manage that is through giving ourselves permission to feel what we feel and to be acknowledged for what we feel, even if we don't share the same opinion. So, transformative grief is an excellent resource to be able to really learn to manage your relationship to loss, your relationship to transition, and your relationship to change on every level in your life. Today, we are going to take on women's body autonomy and the changing social mores of today. Now, the purpose of our discussion here on the show isn't necessarily to get the listener to move the needle on their own beliefs, but rather to offer an opportunity for all listeners to get a better understanding of the kaleidoscope of experiences these topics trigger. And you know they do. They absolutely do. So, it's an opportunity for all of us to get a better understanding and to talk about these things and process these emotions we have that come to the surface as we interact with one another. Having said that, you'll see I have strong opinions on just about everything. But especially this topic. As many people do, But part of what I try to do here on the show is to speak about all of our topics with respect and inclusivity. You may not know this, but respecting another person and respecting yourself for many people is a skill set. It has to be something that has to be cultivated over time. We learn how to treat ourselves, and then we eventually learn how to treat people with the same respect that we offer for ourselves. And one of the things we try to embody here on this show is to give people the respect and the space to feel how they feel, whether or not we agree. So the point of all of this is to find a way for all of us to find balance. If you haven't noticed, we are living in an incredibly inflammatory culture where there are a lot of old cultural wounds, emotional wounds, spiritual wounds on many levels that are coming up to be transformed by this group of people alive on the planet now. And for those of you who are in, you know, your main position of power, you know, beginning in your 20s all the way through midlife and above, but the 25 through 65 category are the people on the planet who are in the position of power and making most of the change. And we have been endowed with the opportunity to shift the ideals, the ideas, and help transform some of the grief of people who, when we want to marginalize a group of people, in this case, shattering stereotypes, women's autonomy, and the changing social dynamics, when we want to marginalize women, in this case, giving our opinions, expressing what we think women should be, what they should do, how they should act, what they mean, speaking on their behalf, when we want to marginalize people and put them in a box, we have to recognize that doing that to any group of people is going to have an effect down the line, that we have to learn to, well, we have to create a space to allow the healing for that dynamic. And that's what I'm looking at here today is being a woman and what it's like to be a woman, what it's like to be a single woman, what it's like to be a childless woman, what it's like to be single and over 50, right? These are all positions that our culture is ingrained in them to scoff at and make it look as if, you know, you somehow have missed your calling if you didn't get married or you don't have children or at any point you choose to be unpartnered. So that's one of the that's what we're going to really talk about today. So I want to get anybody, of course, I want everyone to listen to this because while we're mainly talking about women today, people are marginalized similarly and by similar groups of people. So we want to everyone to listen and understand the common ground and look at the things that you can identify with that help you to better understand the women in your life. So to the women out there, are you tired of hearing? Are you tired of hearing? When are you going to give me grandchildren? And when are you going to get married? What do your friends and family in your environment, what do they think about married people or unmarried people? What do they believe about single women? Right? What are the things that you've heard friends and family say when there's a group of people, let's say you're going to a social gathering, and everybody's married. If you don't know this, when you're single and over 35 and you're unmarried, your married friends stop inviting you, right? They stop inviting you because they oftentimes believe that and there are single women out there who are disruptors and who want to, you know, there are people who would do that, but in this case, not every woman wants their friend's husband, right? Not every woman has an agenda, but it's inevitable that it creates a discomfort for the environment, of the party, of the social experience of the party, and it's just very interesting. Nobody will ever say that out loud, but if you've been single, I'm over 50 and single, and glad about it. But it's interesting to have been witness to even people who, you know, I'm as open-minded as they get. I love people. I love myself. I love being single. I love not thinking about partnership. I love to just interact and do my work and enjoy life without compromise for myself. That's why I choose to be single. So, what is it? And I'm going to ask for callers now. What is it out there? What are you hearing? What are you wanting to hear about what people believe about you because you're single? Stereotype. Let's talk about the stereotype of the single woman, right? She's either crazy, she a hoe, she is too strong for her own good. I had somebody one time tell me, "Tracy, you are just too strong." And this wasn't in regards to a relationship. This is a working situation. But how does somebody be too strong? Well, because I'm female and I have an opinion. I mean, sometimes for some people, that's what it boils down to, right? And one of the things that we want to look at when we look at these stereotypes, we have to look at the history of how we got to this position. So stereotypes, of course, are never accurate because there may be some common threads, but no two individuals are the same. Historically, over the millennia, women have been considered property, service providers, and I use the word lovers because I don't, you know, I'm just going to use the word lovers, but property, service providers, and lovers, right? Women weren't given the right to vote until 1920, and of course, black women didn't get the right to vote till 1965. A lot of you younger folk may not remember or may not know that until the Equal Credit Act gave women the opportunity to get a credit card in 1974. So women were not really acknowledged or embraced in managing their own finances until we had to pass a law that says we now have to. So it makes perfect sense that you are all of these dynamics. This is the social structure that we've all grown up in, which absolutely entitles you. Even you have a lot more privilege if you're white, if you're a white male, than a white female, and then everybody else, right? Some people would love it to stay that way. The rest of us are fighting for it to not be that way. But it's a social structure that is so ingrained in everything that we do, in everything that we think, in everything that we believe, that's the underpinning of keeping other people disempowered. And this is an opportunity for all of us to recognize how we want to be. What kind of a society do we want to live in? What kind of woman am I? And how am I going to address when I bump up against a system that is already set up to marginalize me in some way? Whether it's directly, like we're addressing all the direct ways women have been marginalized, but now we're that gets us more into, you know, the emotionalism and the psychology and the spirituality of marginalizing somebody so that we keep them in a position to feel or to continue to be and or feel disempowered. Let's think about this for a minute. well into the 19th century, women needed men to survive. Isn't that interesting? Right? It's hard to be, you know, I'm the Gen X, but there are the millennials and the alphas, all the, there's these new generations coming in, and they didn't witness the process of change that we've gone through over the last 400 years, over the last 600 years, over the last 200 years, and even just the last 100 years, right? We've made a lot of strides and shifts just over the last 100 years for women, especially. So the concept of needing a man to survive, like that's the only way you can continue life, that's going to be your only road to a roof over your head or food on the table or to perpetuate the species, right? So what then? How do we move forward, not only in our relationship to ourselves, but how do we move forward in relationship to men in general? How does that work, right? If we are now empowered, self-sufficient, autonomous, if we take away the rights of other people to tell us what we can and cannot do with our body, right? While we can certainly talk about abortion and the right to choice, the right to life, that's a whole other show, so I really didn't include it in this, but that is really what we're talking about. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she went to the doctor, and the symptoms that she's having, she's in midlife, and the symptoms she's having are very natural for menopause. But even her female doctor didn't do the tests that would direct her to that. Like, they didn't ask her those questions. They didn't, like, we are not taught, even in our culture, to be an advocate for our own health and for our own understanding. We give over our power and the responsibility for our own wellness to a lot of different people in our culture. You know, this is a great opportunity to sit and think about what, you know, is that true for you? You know, who have you given power over of yourself, of your wellness, of your belief system, right? Religion is another place in which we offer our faith rather than taking responsibility. You know, we offer our faith to a higher power and sometimes to a lower power, right? So the churches aren't necessarily the higher power. They are the lower power that direct us and hopefully give us the rituals and the experiences we need to recognize the higher aspects to ourselves and a creator, right? So what's the facet of society that you're giving your power over to? That's a great question to ask yourself and to sit down and write down what that means for you. You know, what is it? What does it change in your life when you begin to take your power back? So I'm going to leave you with that, and we're going to move on just a little bit. Everything that we're talking about today is going to be about taking your power back and creating a place in the cultural narrative for empowering women to choose not to be partnered or have children or to do what they want with their money, and helping others to understand why these positions are important, why giving everyone power helps all of us remain empowered, right? That's the fear, is that when we give a single person in our life, or a single anything in our life, when we give them power, where do we lie in embracing our own responsibility and our own ability to set boundaries with people, to say that might be good for you, but no thanks for me. For example, this is just one of the many ways in our culture. This hasn't happened to me. Like when I lived in New York City, I used to get that all the time. Of course, I was in my childbearing years, which we'll talk about hormones and that kind of thing a little later in the show. But when I was younger, I would get all kinds of attention all the time. There were I don't know how many I call them for marriage interviews. Like I might be dating somebody, and at some point they would sit me down and they would start with the interview questions about where I saw myself in 5 years and what I wanted and did I want children. And there was a whole list of these questions that I could tell, like, this is the interview. This is the point at which they were either going to move forward with me or move on. And for me, I've been in a place of healing in my life. This has been my lifetime to heal myself and then offer that opportunity to others. And I, as a younger person, I was so filled with stuff, pain, grief, anxiety, you know, depression, rage. You know, I was filled with so many deep emotions that to partner with somebody would have been very painful, and it would have been conflicted all the time, and it just wasn't conducive to a marriage, which is what made me, for the first time, it allowed me to see clearly what our society sets up for women and for men. You know, the expectation is that a man needs a good childbearing woman to, you know, birth him some children, and that's gonna prove that he's a worthy man. So now is the time. I want you to think about these things. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to be talking about women and sexuality and being a single woman. So stay with us here on Be a Slayer, and I look forward to digging into this in a few minutes.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you honor the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master your inner world. Embrace your power with joy. Brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
The home for high-quality video is Vimeo. People who love videos love Vimeo. It's the community for indie filmmakers, popular entertainers, music videos. Even the White House posts high-def versions of its broadcasts on Vimeo. You can even upload and share your videos. So much to see, so little time. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Vimeo and get started seeing and sharing great entertainment now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi, and welcome back to Be a Slayer. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and we're the podcast that addresses all the hard topics. And today we are talking about shattering stereotypes, women's autonomy, and changing social dynamics. Just before the break, I said we were going to be talking now about women and sexuality, how women are sexualized in our culture, and what it means to be single. Right? What it means to just be a single woman. Maybe you're celibate. Maybe you want to be sexually active. Maybe you just want to be and not have to make a choice or tell anybody about it. Like maybe you're a private person. But the truth is, when we are single in our society, everybody got an opinion about it. So I don't know if you know this. I've mentioned this on the show before, but, I'm an intuitive. So I get my facts intuitively. So don't ever rely fully on my facts. Of course I do the research. I look stuff up online. I get it. You know, I read a lot of books. But my idea for facts is to give you an idea of what the temperature is in our society and our culture. Right? You have your own relationship to facts in terms of who you know and what you think and what you feel, and oftentimes we know people who mirror back to us our own thoughts and ideas and feelings about a topic. So I did a little research, and in 2021, single women over 40 hit an all-time high at a rate of 25% of the whole. That was up 5% from 2010. And the only other time that the numbers were higher in the last 100-plus years was during the Civil, was just the last 2 years of the Civil War. Excuse me. The Civil War was the last time women were as single as they are today. 25% of the women in the United States are single. So one of the things that we want to look at is why more men and women are choosing to stay single, right? It's not just women choosing to stay single, for sure, although that's our topic today. Women are less willing to compromise. Women today have more financial autonomy than they've had at any other time. We make our own money. We buy our own houses. We pay our own bills. We're less willing to compromise our integrity with men or in any relationship, and we require more equality and understanding in relationships. We have different emotional needs that when we were unable to take care of ourselves and be autonomous, we really had to tolerate some stuff. You know, that's when you married a man and got to a certain point in the relationship. I remember talking to this woman. She was much older than I was. I was in my 20s. I was in New York City, and she had to have been in her 80s. And she was just, you know, Saturday night, her husband and his friends would go to the cat house. That's what they called it. They'd go to the cat house and get a pro, have some pro time. Right? And then she was relieved for that. You know, she was like, please leave me alone. And today, of course, you know, no judgment on anything that you do, but monogamy for some people is important. And then if you're not going to be a monogamist, we actually have a place in our culture where we're starting to really embrace people who want to be polyamorous. You know, whatever you are, you should be that and say you're that and, you know, honor yourself and honor others by your honesty, right? But we are still living in this society that assumes and expects, if you're single, that there's shame around that if you are asexual single. I've got somebody online. This is Janae from Sacramento, and I'm going to bring her on because I know she's going to have some interesting things to say about being single in our society. So, Janae, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you could be here today. So, what we're talking about is being single and how one deals with our relationship to our sexuality, being single in our culture, how other people relate to us, how our friends and family participate with us when we're single, especially if you're single over 35, but double-double if you're single over 50. What have you experienced around being single?
Oh, being single. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I love being single. It really gives a lot of free will and free choice in my life. But I do find the most difficult thing about being single is most of my friends are married or in relationships. And I find sometimes there's this weird gray area where I might not get invited to poker night or party night because I don't have a partner or a husband or a girlfriend or somebody that I would call my own. And it right. just seems kind of odd. You know, maybe I'm not, you know, partnered up so I can't go, or maybe sometimes I think, gosh, do they not want me there because they think I'm this desperate pariah that's out to steal their mate, which I'm not. So that's exactly. one thing that I struggle with.
Exactly. And do you find that those same friends are always trying to pair you up with their husband's friend or, you know, blind date or just generally trying to push a relationship on you?
I think so in my younger years. I am in my early 50s now, and I think that in my earlier years, like by the time I was like late 20s, early 30s, I mean, I had had long-term relationships, you know, but I found that when I was younger, people wanted to push me into a relationship more in that childbearing age, you know, trying to make
right.
the coupling. But not
really
so much now. I just don't get invited now.
Right. I'm really glad that you said that because you probably know this, and I'm sure all of our listeners know this too, whether or not you've actually thought about it. But no matter how you slice it, hormones are still the biggest driver of our mating ritual than any other motivation to couple. Both men and women produce hormones that begin to wane in the 30s and really reduce dramatically post the childbearing years. And it really colors how we see and continue in our relationships. And we are all more likely to put up with mental, emotional, and physical or spiritual upheaval in our childbearing years, in my opinion, because of the underlying hormonal cocktail going on that affects our desires, beliefs, and ideals. Right, we put up with stuff that we, you know, as the hormones began to wane, we're like, F that, no
right.
more.
Right, and not only do we have to put up with that in our childbearing years, also coupling up is it during our childbearing years has a lot to do with finances. So who's going to stay and really take care of the children? Who's going to work? Who's got the heavier workload? Who's paying for it? And that creates a dynamic where you're forced to stay in a relationship because of how are we going to pay the bills and we have these kids to raise.
This is some really good stuff. We're going to go to a break. But Janae, if you don't mind staying on talking with me some more about this, I really wanted to get to choosing to be childless. I want to talk about that with you. So stay with us here at Be a Slayer. Hold on for a few ads, and we're going to be back talking with Janae from Sacramento, about women and motherhood.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and we are talking right now to Janae from Sacramento. And we were talking about being single in our culture today. And it's people inevitably, they cannot help themselves. If you are single, they have to know why. And as well, it's because I actually have three breasts, and it's really awkward for people. Or, you know, I've got this thing growing out of the back of my head, and I've just not found anybody who is comfortable with that. You know, they're expecting some sort of answer to legitimize our choice to be single. So have you experienced that, Janae?
I have. And, you know, it's funny. It's single by choice, yes. And I think that the thing that's really most uncomfortable to talk about is a woman's role in a relationship. And, right. You know, if all the stars aligned and the right person showed up, I would consider it. First and foremost, I'm not a maid, and I'm not the housekeeper. I'm not the dinner maker. I have a career. I own a business. I'm just as busy. And I find oftentimes being in a relationship really causes me to work two jobs, and I'm right. really not willing to do that.
So, I completely agree. So if you had to answer that question, why are you single? Why are you single?
Because I'm not willing to be someone's maid.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I find the most, but, yeah. You know, I like myself. I like spending time with myself, mm-hmm. and I don't like to be interrupted. I just like my alone time.
You like your time.
I do.
It's interesting because, so I grew up with a single mother, no father, He died when I was 11. And my mom remained single until I moved out of the house. And so I did, I was always, I started like taking care of myself early. I had my first job when I was 13. I always cooked my own meals. I pretty much did my own laundry when I was, you know, when I could do it and not ruin it. So,
right.
So I, when I think of relationships, I don't, I actually don't equate any of those. I've never done any of those things for other people, but I've always lived in a home where we each individually did that stuff for ourselves. But what's interesting, for me is I go, but you know, why I'm single is because I want to be single. I have had, I've been celibate for almost 7 years now. Not planned, but it has turned out to be the most amazing period of time where it really helped me understand as I moved out of the hormonal cocktail of this obligation to partner, right? Whether it was unconscious or conscious. People around me, like getting out of that cycle of behavior where your friends, you know, they're like, oh, well, don't worry, you're going to find someone. I'm like, no, that is not the point. Like, I don't need to find someone. If I find someone, that's great, but I don't need to find somebody. It's not going to, mm-hmm. it's not going to make me a better person. And in fact, it might compromise the person that I am. You know,
I agree.
That's one of the things that I think that people don't really consider is that the relationships you choose in life will absolutely direct the person that you are and the person that you become. And if you, depending on whom you choose, it's going to change the person that you are. And not every partner makes you a better person, right? And sometimes we come out of dynamics where we don't really know, you know, if we're choosing out of survival, we don't know the kinds of personality types or the things that they'll do that are going to challenge our own integrity or imprint us with fear or pain or confusion or self-doubt. Like, there's a lot of things that partners bring to each other that nobody educates us on. And for the last 7 years, for the first time in my life, I haven't had any compromise. There's no part of me that wants to compromise in a way that's going to challenge my integrity. Where before I've had a lot of short-term relationships because I wasn't, you know, I had to participate in the relationship until I was clear that relationship was going to challenge my integrity and I couldn't give up my integrity. Right? So
right.
I think that there are a lot of reasons that we get in relationships, and there are just as many reasons to not be in them and to really be able to be with yourself and enjoy the person that you are, enjoy your own company, feel confident in that. I think that's amazing. So,
and it's powerful. It takes a certain amount of, you know, power. It takes a certain amount of being comfortable with yourself and just enjoying yourself.
Yes.
And a lot of people, especially, you know, they might not know how to do that. A lot of women don't know how to be alone. A lot of women are, you know, it's in our genes to be caretakers. And if there's
Absolutely.
Not someone around to caretake, they don't know what to do. And then
right.
there's a certain set of women that are not necessarily caretakers. They're achievers and go-getters and they're just built differently.
Right.
And you said
Absolutely.
Something interesting about sexuality too, you know, whether you're single, are you sexual? And whether you are or aren't, but I certainly am still sexual as even though I'm single, but then
right.
I get this whole other layer of, oh my gosh, she's such a whore, she's single and she sleeps around. Well, I don't really
right.
sleep around, but I definitely have sex. I definitely, you know, have partners that I share time with. But I'm
right.
still consider myself single. I don't consider myself a whore by any means. And so that's a whole other level of being single and sexuality and how people perceive your sexuality when you're single.
Absolutely.
I must be loose or I must be this or I must be that or whatever they think in their mind.
Right. There's always some sort of shame attached to to how you feel about yourself and your sense of confidence. People call me a cougar all the time, and I'm like, well, no. I don't really date, but I mean, if a young guy's attracted to me, great, but no, you know.
Right.
It got me thinking about relationships and people who choose marriages, right? A lot of folks choose marriages in their early 20s so that they can have kids, and they ride those marriages out. And then once those hormones shift for one or both partners, things really change how they see each other, how they feel, and the amount that they're willing to compromise. And the pandemic really brought that out in people. It really, the trauma of the pandemic, raised our divorce rate to over 70%, which is crazy. And I really believe that partly it's our shift in hormones. It makes it really easy to leave a relationship when there's no more of that monthly cyclical drive and need to partner. When you don't have that, if the partnership wasn't built in love and nurturing and something that supports both partners equally, it makes it really easy to let go of a lifetime partnership or marriage. So, you know, think about that going in to everybody listening today when you're thinking about, you know, your partnership and how much you need, like why you need to be in a relationship. And if you do, next segment, and Janae, I would love to have you on for this because it sounds like you have some wonderful things to say. We're going to be talking about how you can handle the people in your life. We're going to talk how you deal with the friends. We're going to talk a little bit about women and motherhood, being childless by choice or childless by circumstance, and how you deal with the people in your life and help them get on board with your choices and to support you fully. So stay with us here at Be a Slayer. We're going to go to a couple of ads, and then we will come right back, and we will see you then.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Demblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Demblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Demblazer. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets.
and they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hi, and thanks for staying with us here at Be a Slayer. I'm Tracy Dunblazer, spiritual empath, shaman, and multi-award-winning author, and we've been talking about women's body autonomy, breaking stereotypes, changing the cultural narrative about how women are perceived if they're single, if they're sexual, if they don't want to be a mother, right? I think one of the things that we've really dealt with in our society over the last, you know, 20 or 30 years is single motherhood, because, you know, for the last 30 years, it's been about, well, if you can't keep your man, right, you had a kid and you got a baby daddy, and if you can't keep your man, then this and that. Now we honor single parents, whether you're a father or a mother, right? We honor, we are beginning to give both parents equal rights, and we recognize that, you know, good children don't have to be raised by two people, right? But what if you're a woman who just didn't ever want children? What if you were doing other things? The other day, I was at an expo, and somebody asked me, he was looking at all the books that I'd written. He goes, "Do you have children, or are you single, or are you married? Because where did you find the time to do this?" And I was floored. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't even thought of that concept in decades, right? And I said, well, I have two dogs, two cats, and a publishing company, and two or three other businesses, right? I do a lot of stuff, so that's more than enough for me. But it never occurred to me that people still think that way. You know, and this guy was from back east, and it kind of makes sense, because here in L.A. I've not run into the being a childless mother, because I think there might be more of them here. But here we go. I want to talk about this little fact here. The percentage of childless women at ages from 35 to 50 went from 21% at age 35 to 15% at age 50, which is a significant increase from 2010. Basically, that, you know, that we're talking about people, women no longer choosing to have children. Where do you stand on that, Janae?
I never wanted to have children. I never felt that drive to have children. I feel it's a personal choice. I feel there's a lot of children on the planet at any given time that really need love and nurturing. I have sisters, and they have children. One has three, the other has six. I'm antied out. I get to give them back. I get to love them. I get to treat them. I get to do all kinds of things. But I just chose to not have children. And, right. You know, and then that brings up a really weird thing, because there are all kinds of people in the world. When you say I've chosen not to have children, one of the first things that goes through people's minds is, oh my God, how many abortions have you had?
Right.
And I've come across that a lot, and I'm like, whoa, none.
Right.
I just chose not to have children. I know how to practice safe sex.
Right.
And it's a real trip for some people, that they just cannot wrap their minds around a woman not wanting to have kids.
Right, absolutely. And in my case, I knew I would not have a child as a younger person. I knew that. Because I had so much within myself I needed to heal. I was not going to pass that on to a child. But when I was 25, I met a man who, he was twice my age. He groomed me. I didn't understand that he was grooming me. And then he sabotaged the condom and got me pregnant the first time we had sex. He deliberately did this. And then I was in such denial of the experience. I was almost 18 weeks pregnant when I found out I was pregnant. And I spoke with him, and when he told me, you know, he thought I was a gifted person, and he was a gifted person, and we'd have this gifted child, and I was like, oh my God. I couldn't bring a child into a family dynamic like that where somebody would take away my rights. That's how I felt. And I was not going, I wasn't ready. It wasn't my choice, and I just wasn't going to do it, and I didn't do it. And thank God I had the opportunity to get an abortion. And I had one, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity. You know, I promised that child, right? I think that when people do have abortions, you know, there's a reason we're not bringing kids into the world in that time and space. And those kids, I told this, he was a boy. And spiritually speaking, I'm a spiritual person, and I could feel his spirit, and we talked, and I told him, I love you and I want you, but it can't come in this way. It can't be in these circumstances, because I can't put that on you, and I can't live with that. And so he was at peace, and I said, you know, if you get here another way, please let me know. And indeed, I was in a relationship a decade later. And met a young six-year-old boy who, you know, I had the opportunity to meet him, and he let me know that he was the one, that he'd made it here safely, essentially. And I was grateful for that opportunity. But the bottom line is that we, you know, we want to spend a lot of time judging people for what they do or they don't do, and we can't possibly understand what's going on with somebody. We make assumptions about who they are. Like you're saying, you know, how many abortions have you had? Well, they're making assumptions because they don't understand what it's like to be put in that position, or they don't understand what it's like not to mimic the bad behavior of other judgmental people.
Right? And it really doesn't matter how many abortions that you chose to have or not have, if you feel 100% that you're not capable of being a parent, or you don't want to be a parent, and if you are forced to have that child with those burdens on, I don't want it, I don't want to raise it, then you unravel a whole other ball of issues of neglect and, you know, maybe abuse and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So then you're raising this child that's going to be an adult with all these crazy issues. So, no, if you feel you don't want to have children for whatever reason, we shouldn't be shamed about it. And so many people out there really try to shame women without children. It's really gross. I worked with this lady once, and she just, I was 35, and she just could not believe I wasn't having children. Who's going to take care of you? What do your parents think? My parents are completely okay with it. They've got lots of grandkids. No big deal. But this woman was so, just the look on her face when she was speaking to me was so disgust. She was just disgusted in me and my freedom and my sexuality and this, my openness and my everything about me rubbed her wrong. She know, she rubbed me wrong too.
Right. I think that's the perfect segue. We didn't really fully get into it, but there's really one answer to what do you do with the people in your life who don't understand your position? Whether you're single, whether you're childless, you know, whatever your deal is, it's all about setting boundaries and addressing them with love. Don't be mad. Don't call them names. Say, I really appreciate your concern for me, but I want you to know I'm well, and I've thought through my decision, and this is going to be it. And I'm sorry, you know, if you can't get on board with me, I would like your support. I'd like you to support me even though you don't agree with me. And leave it at that, right? When you set a boundary in a loving way, it doesn't give them any recourse to respond back with anything else, because you've stopped the attack, because that's how oftentimes it feels when you're in that position. So think it through, find a way to remain in love in the situation. I feel your concern and I appreciate your concern. So thank you so much. But if you can't get on board, I understand, but it's not going to be a discussion. So that is, thank you everybody so much for staying with the show today. Janae, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you and for you to share your experiences with us. And remember, be a slayer every second Wednesday of the month. We've got some great stuff, some great topics to discuss with you. This has been Tracy Dunblazer. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast with your host, Tracy Dunblazer. Join us next time as we continue unmasking the taboo through more in-depth conversations about life and relationships. Thanks for listening.